The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7, and go out to motivationandmuscle.com and check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook, 10 paragraphs with 5 new bullet points per paragraph. Go out and look at the 30-day ebook I just put up and wrote. Very simplified, but you're going to get a dose now of the power rack for the bench press and the squat. And in the middle of the week, we're going to do a very specialized sandbag routine. Go out and look at that. All you got to do is leave your email, and you're going to get 2 of the finest ebooks you've ever read. Also, 2 are 2 biggest pieces that I've built that are now free right now. They're usually chargeable. Strength times power equals success. That is kind of like a vanilla program I use for everybody here to get started. But a lot of that was used to knock 43 pounds of body fat off. Dennis, like I say, everything's very simplistic here. That's how we do things. Also, too, the winner circle. That's another one. That's strictly me talking and giving you 12 modules of what I do to that point. Okay? It's awesome stuff, and we're just going to keep growing. So go out there and check out those 4 products. Also, too, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. What can I tell you? We've got the biggest bank of material out there anyways. Nobody has content like us. You go out and look at just about everybody that's been on this show for the last year, say, or 2 years, and there's not a book out there that's going to match it. And if you needed that type of material, I can't imagine how many chapters you would need to do that, learn it, write it, everything. Go out and check all that out at Motivation Muscle /category/podcast, and I guarantee you, you will find anything you want. And if you don't find what you want, you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Well, we got our good friend Frank Deventhal on today. Now, we had Frank on last week. As everybody knows, we've been having major internet problems here. We had big problems with Skype and the recorder. We've had to change recorders. I did it for the first time yesterday with a show, for a 5 for 15 with Janelle Pica. The sound quality sounds magnificent. I couldn't be happier. So we're going with that. So we brought Frank back because, I mean, we got to do this man justice. Frank has been very, very good to me in Motivation and Muscle. I'm not going to get into it, but, he's in Germany. You would think he lived next door to me, from sending me bent horseshoes to, advising me on different matters with what we're planning on doing, and putting my player out on 2 of his sites, which is one of the biggest things because it is going to help Frank. Obviously, it's already proven that people will stay on these sites 4 times longer when a player is going. So Frank has been one hell of a guy to me and the Motivation Muscle, and we thank him for that. I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman, then we'll bring Frank in, and he can give us the websites and anything else for his bio. He's a kettlebell competitor and trainer. He's a stone lifter, which I'm very proud. He listened to the show, and it kind of inspired him to get into the big pieces of stone. And he's a steel bender, as I said. He was nice enough to send me a horseshoe he mangled, and that is pounded into my garage wall right behind the power rack, which I'm going to have to get a picture this weekend and put it out there. Frank, welcome to Motivation Muscle again, sir.
Oh, thanks, Eric. Thank you for having me. And like you always say, repetition.
So yes, maybe sir. It's getting better. Yes, sir. Our good friend Frank Klein. I got to say, one of the greatest teachers I've ever had. Give us a little bit of bio, your websites, anything I missed. And we're going to, you know, we do each new show called Introduction. We bring somebody new in here. Frank and I are going to kind of do a little bit of that. We want the family to get to know Frank, who don't know him on Facebook or any of the other avenues of social media. And I'm very much in the mood to have a very aggressive, kick-ass show. So, Frank, take it away, and then we'll start.
Okay, Eric. I was born January 72, so I'm a little older, and so if anybody tells you, oh, you are over 40, it's no use in training heavy, that's complete nonsense.
Yep.
So the last 4 years, I made so much more progress, and when I see myself with 28, and at that time I thought I was strong and powerful, and now reviewing that, I just being very young and naive. So there's never stopping getting stronger, getting better. I started sports with 4.5 years old, and my parents put me into judo class. So which I really loved, and I got there also in the spirit of training, because all the time when I just got my feet on the ground and know how to handle things, they put me up in the bigger class with the bigger students. So I was always the small and little one, and so I learned how to fight and get along. And which I really loved about judo is that you can physically engage and have a competition, but nobody gets really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So especially when you're young, you do not have the chokes, you do not have the arm bars. So it's just throws and holds. So this is very, very nice to start to get physical loose, how I say it, fears of engaging physically and being somewhat safe. So this is what I really like about judo. Mm-hmm. And you learn how to fall. So you have injury prevention. All small children, they say, oh, you have to learn how to swim, because otherwise you may drown. But nobody tells, oh, you got to learn how to fall correctly, because when you get older and you fall, you break your bones.
Yep.
Nobody tells you that.
Yeah. We'll see you in the ER, man, and they'll set you up with a cast and everything else. Hey, you know, before we get into like your websites and all that too, this is interesting what you said, which kind of caught me a little bit here. And I want to get into this after you give the rest of your information out.
Yeah, so don't worry.
I like the idea of what you said, the spirit of training, okay? Just briefly, define what you think the spirit of training is, because I can't wait to hear what you say, and then I want to comment on it, and I obviously will keep rocking all the way through here. So, what is Frank's spirit of training?
Oh, joy, curiosity. I pronounced it wrong. So if you really want to know if you can do it.
Yeah.
So just that kind of excitement. And that you really want to do this. It's not like, oh, I'm going to give it a try. It's more like excited. I'm going to give it a try. That's completely different.
Yeah.
Let
me just break in here for a second. I know you listen all the time. One of the rottenest words you can ever say to me if you come to my place is I'll give it a try, because you know what'll happen? I'll kick you in the balls and send you home.
I know.
Right?
But for me personally, so
yep.
So if I say give it a try,
yep.
Another person says I will die if I do not make this. Yeah. So for me, trying is something. I mean, you can fail.
Yeah.
So basically, you cannot always promise success. But for me, trying is doing the utmost to be able to achieve it.
Yep.
This is for me, trying is. Basically, I give you an example for trying.
Sure.
I want to do, I got in also through the kettlebells training, I got a lot stronger, and I got into the feats of strength. And I have arm cuffs for ripping chains.
Yep.
and I'm relatively good with it. So the number six jack chain is the biggest jack chain you can get, and I rip this easily on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to I'm working on ripping two pieces of number six jack chain at the same time. And I wanted to know if I can do this, so I gave it a try. Mm-hmm. And I stopped once I really hurt my rib cage. I think I broke a rib or something. Yeah, this means trying for me.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the thing is, from what I've seen in the short time you and I have talked and known one another, is this is my interpretation of you, what I see, is you're a guy that's not afraid to go after anything. I don't know what you're doing when the camera's turned off with everything, but from what I see is you have this spirit within you, as we just said, that definitely seems to want to go after anything you feel that is worthy and is something that you feel you could definitely, I feel, not only prosper, I'm going to use that word, off of, and I mean that in a great way, where you can make yourself better, make yourself stronger, make yourself mentally stronger. And the thing that I like, Frank, is you will pass it on to people. Now, I think that
this is important.
One of the what's that, sir?
That's important. This is one of my motivations.
Totally important. Totally.
For me, this is play.
Yep. Yeah.
So if I bust myself and just give it all, I love that. If I cannot train for 3 days, my wife looks at me and okay, come on, train. Yeah, just don't go on my nerves.
Well, you're miserable. You're miserable. That's what happens, man. You can't look at the life of a lifter. You and I have talked about this offline. The life of a lifter is different from any breed of anybody out there. When you're totally committed to something you love to do and you have the passion that you can't measure passion in people like us. They can say all kinds of things. We don't even know what it is. I mean, you know, I was telling Frank last night, started 1 month straight of Husafell stone lifting last night, and it was very interesting. Working the fingers, you know, spreading as far as I could after the stones with a 2-inch Apollon bar and holding it as long as I could before I drop it back on the rods in the rack, lifting the smaller stones and taking my fingers and digging them through it. I got to train Friday night again. It's stones again. There's going to be some other things, but here's what it is. I've never done anything like this in all the years I've trained, and I can thank Bill Crawford and Martin Janziks for a lot of this stuff. Just kind of try it, I'm telling you, you know. And, you know, even for a guy that's been lifting a long time and done some big stuff, suddenly you're pulling yourself kind of out of the norm again. Not going to be doing a lot of weight movements as far as barbell stuff. It's going to be strictly, I have three steel stones here. We've constructed four of them. Steve Helmicki's got the other one in Buffalo. We're going to be running three stones here, but right now I want to get very acclimated to this stuff because you can get hurt. I mean, I've already proven it. I blew a bicep on a stone when I was in Iceland. But the thing of this is, I believe that this is going to be one of the most measurable things I've ever done, because from what Bill tells me, and Martin, especially Bill, is when he went and trained stones for an indefinite amount of time, metabolically changed, muscularly changed, mentally changed, and his outer skin and hair and everything, if you can believe this, ladies and gentlemen, got thicker. Now, I am going to go for four weeks. I started last night on the 11th of October, and I'm going to let everybody know what's going on. Go ahead.
So you're finished on the 11th of November, 11th.
Yes, yes.
So I think this is the beginning of Carnival, isn't it? So
yeah,
at least in Germany, that's a carnival season when it started.
Well, we're living in carnival here all the time, you know what I mean? Because who knows what the hell is going on around here. But the thing is, I know this is going to make a big impact on me. And I'll go, well, the most I'll go after that, I'll go 2 more weeks. I could go 6 weeks. Then I'll change it up back to the weight, see what it transferred over to everything with the weight training. Still do stones, but not that won't be the primary for a while again. Now, obviously here, everybody knows, if you know anything about the East Coast, I'm in upstate New York. It is going to start getting colder. The snow's going to start falling, and that's when I love to really train, because the temperatures are going to be frighteningly cold. That's when I'll be out even more, probably. This is going to be very interesting. This is the thing everybody needs to do with their weight training in their life. You need to step out of whatever you've been doing and not fear what could or couldn't happen. What you need to do is to only look at where your destination is going to take you. My destination could be possibly four places next year, but the first destination that's been haunting me for a long time now, I have to get to Iceland, and I have to finish that stone, period. Then, go ahead.
I would really love if you just arrived at that stone, looked at it, picked it up, really have that feeling, oh, that was easy.
That's the idea. See, you know what, Frank, you know what it is? This is what I see with a lot of things now, especially in what we do and all kinds of fitness, is this. There's too much emphasis made on too many things, okay? Your routine, your sleep, your mental activity, all these things. Well, yeah, they all enter into everything, but you know what the bottom line is this. You got to get out and train, okay? And I think a lot of that's been left out in a lot of areas. We're looking for everything to make us train better and become stronger rather than going out and doing the opposite, taking the training, learning the training, changing things up a little bit where you can take that training and enhance it more, and then worrying about the fork you're putting in your mouth or what you're drinking for protein or how are you sleeping at night? Do I need to buy a new mattress or this? How much more emphasis can you put on yourself mentally? And the thing is with mental is you can take yourself to and go overboard and have it work the opposite direction. So if someone came to me right now and said, hey, I've been trying all this stuff. I'm watching YouTube. I'm talking to people all over. What would you suggest I do? And this would be someone that has some experience, obviously. I would take them and strip. Go ahead.
For me, it is just learn to move your body.
I agree.
So you have to be able to hinge. You have to be able to squat. You have to be able to push. You have to be able to pull.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. What I would do to you is I'd strip you right down.
Yeah.
And you said the words, squat, pull, press. We could leave it at that for 3 months and work you all around that, and gradually you want to lift stones. We add some light stones or sandbags into the mix. See, the whole thing with all this stuff, you and I both know, the more complicated you make this kind of stuff, the more mentally you're going to get messed up, all right? Because, let's face it, we've got a million things coming at us now every day. It never used to be this way, whether it's phone or internet or business.
The problem at the moment is not to get information. The problem is to filter information.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what the thing is? I think information is great. You and I talk about a lot of stuff like everybody. But to be honest with you, like last night, there I am all alone out in that garage outside. And you know what that tells me? When I do that stuff, that's giving me more information than anybody else or anything I read or watch could. And why? Because you have to formulate decisions. You have to understand what's working for you and what's not. When you can do things like that, and I've said this on numerous shows, if you're struggling, if you don't know where you're going, if you're not getting along with your training partners, et cetera, you need to go and do it by yourself for a while. What do you think with that, Frank? I mean, you train alone, obviously, quite a bit.
Yes, most of the time I trained alone all my life.
What do you think training alone does for you?
Eric, I don't know. That's part of my life.
There you go.
So I just got to train. It's a habit. Yeah. If I do not train, I do not feel comfortable. I do not feel well.
Exactly.
My biotope, where I live, is training. So it's a movement, sweat, exhaustion, good food, cold shower, more good food, enjoy life. That's all part of it.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? That's where I think a lot of people get lost in the mix, and they quit, or they fail, and they quit, and they fail, and then finally they throw their hands up in the air and say, this never was going to work for me anyway. Yeah. See, that's the trap.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it's easier if they got someone to rely on.
Yeah.
And I had often training buddies that actually, I taught them how to do it with kettlebells, for example, and they trained with me, but basically I was teaching them and training along.
Yeah.
Everything very fine, because if you got somebody who shows up at your door, you cannot just say, I do not feel so well, so do we just watch television? Because then he'll be just looking at you. Hey, Frank, I just came over. I got my sport things on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what it is, Frank? And you hit it right on the head. Unfortunately, well, for some people it's fortunate. They need somebody to rely on. They need someone to come into the gym or at the house or whatever and push them.
Which has also very good advantages, because
You
know why I got strong? Like many stupid, very engaged people, because I was doing it too much and wrong over a long time. So I hurt my shoulder. Which is, in retro perspective, the best thing that could happen to me, because that way I learned about the kettlebell, which I would have never considered before. And the biggest advantage, I wanted to get strong but also look good.
Yeah.
So, but I was had this thinking of biceps, chest, legs, calves, and so on. So I was doing this Frankenstein training, which was okay, but now I'm concentrating on movements and small little tasks.
Yep.
If the task is a perfect swing and doing it for 100 times, or doing 100 snatches, or doing a goblet squat, and this is all something where you have to move your whole body with a focus to complete it. Mm-hmm. So it's a small task. And this is much more interesting than just, I'm doing a biceps curl.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you're engaging everything. And when you engage everything, you're always going to be a lot more successful, because there's so many moving parts with us that when you can train them from head to toe, there's going to be a lot less chance for any type of problem, injury, overtraining, et cetera, et cetera. And not only that, there's a spirit. This is, when we're talking spirit especially, when you're out by yourself and there's nobody sitting there chanting your name or helping you load bars or whatever it is you're doing, it definitely builds a much better individual. And the individual is going to go right across the board, outside of the gym, in the entrepreneur field, whether it's they're working for someone else or whatever. It all works that way, because I'll say this and I'll keep saying this till the day we stop doing M&M. Right now, there is no difference between the gym and you sitting, like me, sitting in this chair talking to you. Yep, I'm not lifting weights right now, but the iron and stone is so engraved into me mentally and so into my bloodstream and my muscle and my tendons and my ligaments. There's no differentiation from it. It's just right now I'm not waging war on the weights and the stones. But you can't separate the two. And if you tell me that you think that, well, there is a separation, you don't understand weightlifting or stone lifting or kettlebells or anything.
You do not understand life then, if you think there's a separation.
Exactly. Because
there is no separation between your body, your intellect, and, say, feeling, soul. This is a unit.
Yep. total unit. And you know what? It's fun to get out, get dirty, and press upon yourself to do that much better. And these things are very logical, too, when you think about them, because, like you said, people are not made to sit still. They're not made to sit down forever. They're not made to constantly have things coming at them. I love to hear people say, well, I can do a number of things. And I'm like, well, that's great, because I guarantee you those number of things aren't as good as if you only had to do one task. Well, a lot of people disagree with me, but let me tell you, if you're doing four or five tasks every day, something's going to suffer. And eventually, mentally and physically, you're going to give out, because I don't believe that the human body or mind was made to just multitask day in and day out. Are there things that we have to do more of? Absolutely.
Correct.
But
real multitasking is not really possible.
No.
So if you're writing a blog post or a web page or program something, you can have a sip of coffee and a chewing gum at the same time.
Yep.
No problem.
Yep.
Now, you can also train and have a sip of water and maybe a chewing gum. That's no problem. It works at the same time.
Yep.
But you cannot work. Do a deadlift and write your blog post.
Exactly. It's not going to happen.
That does not work, because you just can focus on one thing.
Yep.
I mean, if chewing gum is too challenging for you to do something else, then this falls out. But so very, very simple tasks that will be handled by a habit or the unconscious. This is no problem just doing it at the same time. This is the reason why you should be able to listen to this podcast and driving with your car somewhere.
Yeah, but as I say, Frank, hold on to the wheel, because you might drive off the road. You know, the idea, like when we're doing these shows, the whole point of this is this. We like to bring what happens to us to everybody else, to the family out there. And these are very high-spirited, high-octane shows, and the idea is there's chances you're going to hear stuff on here there's nobody else doing out there. You know, as Jason says, I am the golden voice now, and he loves to listen, and many others. Well, you know, I appreciate the compliment, but you know what? I'm here, and I'm not going to speak for you, and I'll ask you this question in a moment. I'm here because I just got really lucky. You know, all the things that have happened the last 3 years, yep, there's been a lot of highs and lows. There's a lot of things that right now we're working on to really excel, especially by the end of the year. But I'll tell you right now, I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world for a few reasons. Number one, unlike my brother Jimmy, I can walk. I can get out of bed and start doing whatever I want every day. And secondly, I'm doing the thing that the little boy that I've talked so many times about sat at a table and said, if I could talk to Arnold Schwarzenegger, or I could talk to Bill Kazmaier, or anybody of that nature, what would I ask them if I could ask them? Well, you know what? Now we are positioning ourselves to speak not only with Frank and so many other people of not only strength but intellect, that there's going to be a day when I am going to talk to Bill Kazmaier, and there's going to be a day when I'm going to talk to Arnold. And you know why? Because you have to be willing to do the work. You have to be willing to take it on the chin 1 million times to get to where you got. And I've been taking it on the chin quite a bit lately with a lot of different things. But I always find a way to get it done. That's what winning's about. That's what getting your business to the top's about. And anybody that tells you different and is charging you a lot of money for it, get away from them. Okay, Frank, what's your feeling about all that?
At first, Jimmy taught you how to put up a fight.
Yep.
So, and in the end effect, there is no final winning. We will all die. But the question is, how do I leave this world? And when I leave this world, I want that some people at least say, this world is better because he lived.
That's right.
and not right. he got this and he got this and he's rich and he was so whatever. No, just very basic. I want to bring a little sunshine, a little joy, and make people smile and get them moving their butts to improve themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I'll tell you what. I've said this before, and I think I've even said it to you off air. And I can't stress this enough. Jimmy, obviously everyone knows, the whole business is dedicated in his memory. But the thing I want to tell everybody more than anything, and I've probably said this, but I think it's so important, and it gives you something to really think about. There's a kid, and thank God for my mother and father. I mean, they would never have given Jimmy up, and there was nothing wrong with him mentally, and as I've said a million times, other than in a wheelchair, you never know anything, all right? But the thing that resounds in me more than anything, you know, we did a show yesterday on tenacity, persistence, and holding on a little bit longer. Those are all his traits, man. I watched that for years. And even though being a year older than him and being young like my brothers and sister too, I don't know what it was. I think about it more now than ever. When I'm feeling like I'm not going to make it, when I feel like I'm busted down on one knee, when I have people that make promises and don't come through for me when I pay them a lot of money and things of that nature, and I really want to, you know, I'm not going to say what I want to do. I think to that little boy in that wheelchair that I know suffered but never complained, always was loved, and he always loved especially everyone else. And when you see the flow of people over in my house as a kid, it was absolutely amazing. When Jimmy passed away, he was buried out of we all went to a Catholic school, and the church was right next to it. This church is mammoth. And I'm talking, I don't know how many it could hold. When you're a kid and you look up, it seems like the ceiling goes forever. Absolutely just beautiful. I'll never forget that. When they said mass on Jimmy's death, there were people literally out on the stairs going into St. James Church. Now, if that doesn't give you an idea of what he was thought of and the family was thought of, I don't know what else to tell you. So when you feel like you are going down, even though you're not related to Jimmy, think about what I'm talking about here, because I'm telling you right now, just what I'm saying here to everybody in our family, because to me, you are Jimmy's family. This will inspire you to get back up. And I mean it. I have had this over and over again. And I know that he would be disappointed in me if I laid down like a dog and took it. So I'm going to tell everybody, I'll give it right back to you, Frank. You have to have something, some fortitude in you, some drive that no matter what happens to you, you can look at that and you can always get back up. Because by God, there's going to be a day Jimmy and I are going to meet again, and my brother's going to be on his two legs walking.
Yeah.
So that's good. Go ahead.
And so what I think, you can be pissed.
Yep.
You can cry. You can be angry, but you still got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
So a friend and an employee of mine died a couple of months ago, and I was so sad. Life's not fair.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he died of cancer, and he got a 10-year-old son. And so I think no 10-year-old son should lose his father like this, vanishing in the time of 1 year.
Yep.
Just from a cheerful living person to barely being able to sit up in the bed.
Yep.
And so I was very sad once I got to know this, that he died, that he passed away. And I just found relief when I went to my little shack where I got there my kettlebells or some of the kettlebells and my little bar where I do deadlifts, and this was my way how to feel better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was sad, I was crying, but I still did my deadlifts and my kettlebell swings and snatches and presses. And after this, I felt better.
Yep.
Yeah. I was still sad, but I was being able to function again.
Yep. Yep.
And this is also something which I think what people like us find so attractive on training.
Yep.
In the weight room or whatever you are pretty much in control. It's just you, the weight or the task or the movements. And if you fuck up, it's just you.
Yeah. I agree.
It's your fault. Yeah. So if it's if you were not ready for the weight or if you were not concentrated, but it's your fault.
Yep.
In general, in life, we are not depending just on ourselves. We are just depending on our surroundings. We are depending on other people, and we also depend a little bit on luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is much harder to accept.
Well, you know what it is, too? What we do, which is so different, like you said before, we take responsibility for what we do. It falls on our lap. See, most of the world always has either a scapegoat, someone to bail them out, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but in the end effect, does it really help if you got a good excuse? You still did not get done what you got to be doing.
Right, exactly. But what you become is a victim, and what you become is somebody that's always looking for another way out, and that doesn't work with me. Hey, look, I believe in helping people. If I didn't, I wouldn't be doing this show, and I do a lot of things on the outside I don't even talk about, and I've always been that way. That was instilled in us as kids. I got no problem with that at all, but the problem I have is, you know, when I get excuse after excuse from people, or people you train, or they don't show up, or it's like, well, come on, you know, you can do better than that. You know, oh, I don't have enough money or all this. Well, you know what? I'll tell everybody, and I've said it before, I'm living on a shoestring right now. This was my choice, though. I want to do something greater of the most excellence I can give to myself and to the world. I want to be exemplary in everything I do. Do I fall short at times? Absolutely. I'm a human being. But...
Yep.
But here's the big but my heart is always in the right place regardless. Now, there are a lot of people out there like that. The thing is, you're going to either, they're going to find you or you're going to find them. But there's going to be a lot of just bodies all over the road that gave up, gave in. You're going to have to move over. You're going to have to step over. It might sound cruel in some ways, but the whole thing is, there's a point in time where you've got to leave that all behind you and keep forging and moving forward. If you can't do that, you're going to be stuck in quicksand, and eventually you know what happens with quicksand. It takes you to the bottom, and that's the end of you. I won't live like that. I try to stress with anybody I meet or deal with on the show that, hey, look, we're here to inspire people, to maybe, you know, maybe someone's been sitting on the fence with training or entrepreneurship or just life, and they say, hey, I heard that show Frank and Eric did, and that inspired me so much that I've taken weight training back up, or I'm going,
oh, whatever, if it just inspired them
exactly
to do something, just to pursue their goals, whatever it is, I would be very happy.
Yeah.
Please, that's the reason why I'm on that show, that people get up.
No, it's you know something, Frank? The logic of life is very simple. Hard work is very simple. Vision is very simple. And follow through is very simple. The problem is, and this is going to always be a big problem, as there's more and more ways to get information and video and all that, is this. Whether it's for someone that wants to make money off people that lack self-confidence or don't know where they're going to go, or just the advent of people being so engaged with their phone, with their laptop, with their iPad, that this is what's going to keep happening. you're going to see more and more casualties in everything we do. And you're especially seeing it in the fitness world more than ever now, because I think right now the fitness world is on its ass, literally. And the
we're starting to living more and more in a virtual world.
Yep, virtual
where
world.
Where we think that everything can be fixed, shortcutted, and if I got this new product or everything, then everything will be better. And we consider our lives as new generations of smartphones.
Yeah.
So every year there's a new version of smartphone or a new version of the app, but our life does not work like this. Our relationship does not work like this.
Nope.
So what we do, we have this, some iron and rare metals, and just what you had to do, just keep it hot and bang it and make good steel from it.
I love that, because that's the hell of an analogy, because you know what, like I said before, we forge ourselves. What do you think I'm talking about, everybody out there? It's like taking the hammer to the anvil. You have to forge yourself mentally and physically. This is why I've told Frank and so many other people, next year we've got a lot of younger kids listening to the show. There's things I've got planned out that I want to do with certain people that I think right now the younger, and it goes for every age, but we got to get the younger kids in the weight training, into the philosophy of what it's really about.
Oh,
right.
And the young kids, they can move so good. I see this with my daughter.
Yeah.
And she is absolutely, so, I mean, I can do a pretty good bridge. It does not look good, but you can stand upon me.
Yep.
When I do the bridge.
Yep.
So it's relatively solid. Looks ugly like hell, but solid. But my daughter, when she does a bridge, it's really like, oh, God. And it comes all so natural to her.
Yeah.
And we have to keep our children exercising and enjoying movement.
Yep.
We start to forget this once we get older and we just being kept to be seated and being quiet all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. And I know there's a virtual, there are times when you just have to be seated and being able to listen something and learn something.
Yep.
But this is not life. This is something I have to do to learn something, but this should not be the goal in life, to be able to sit there and absorb information.
Exactly. The thing is, our kids are effortlessly in things they want to pursue. And the biggest thing is, they haven't been told a million times you can't do it. That's all, you know, that's what we hear constantly. You know, it's like here they had, you know, the big hurricane. And they had, and I understand you got to take precautions, but they had people basically hamstrung, hands tied, don't know what to do, board this up, don't go here, don't do that. You know something? Whatever happened to people in common sense? Why is it you have to have the Weather Channel think for you? You know, you get...
I'm sorry, Eric. The English language there for the term common sense is a little bit, how do you say it, irritating, fooling, if you come from another language.
Sure.
Because I'm very sad that common sense is not that common.
It's not. It's not, and you know what? If we keep going the rate we're going, it's going to be forgotten, because as good as technology is, people are not engaging verbally anymore. Like you were saying with the virtual stuff, I remember reading last year, there's so many guys out there that don't even know how to talk to a woman anymore, that they couldn't be happy.
Oh, very simple. Just be kind.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Yeah.
And just go to her. Don't be creepy. Be respectful, especially respectful.
Yeah.
So even if you just got one night in your head, then still be respectful and be honest. You'll be surprised that a lot of girls are far more confident, and they appreciate more if you're just being honest to them and do not lie to them.
Right, and approach him. Don't be afraid of him. But, you know, when you hear all these guys saying now they're going to be able to have virtual love, so they don't even have to get off the couch anymore. They don't even have to go out and pursue something that really matters. They basically have this fake thing that they can hang with, they can screw, they can do whatever they do. When that stuff finally takes place, you can bet your ass humanity is in big trouble. All right, and if
No, I do not really think so.
No?
Because, yeah, be honest, our species has expanded far too much. Yeah? So we are far more people on this planet than we can sustain on a clever basis.
Yep.
So if some people who are lacking the will just to live their life, take themselves out of the gene pool in the long run, it does not really hurt, and especially they do not hurt anyone there.
True.
So I think, okay, well, my sarcastic way of saying it, of course it's a pity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's their choice.
Yeah, you're right. But
yeah,
I'm looking at it from a guy that's coming from, everything I do is to engage with people. Everything I do out in the yard is to engage with the iron and stone, to engage with the universe. See, I'm looking at it through my eyes, where the day I do that is I'd rather take one and put it right through my head. That is not the way I'll ever live. To me, when you can't converse with people anymore and you can't even look anybody in the eye, because all you worry about is that phone in your hand or whatever else you're doing in your living room, that's nothing I want to be around. That would take and suck the life right out of me, and that's not what I'm into. And I just think right now, with all the great things we have out there, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great things. It allows me to do my job very well, and I need it for my business. But, and this is the big but, where does it stop and where is it going to go? I have no idea. But I got to tell you, I'm not a participant of any of that type of stuff. When the business is shut down, everything's shut down with it. Because I'm going to tell you this, when you're working at 5 o'clock in the morning every day, and even though you're taking breaks here and there, I'm on this machine sometimes most of the day and at least 3 hours at night. All right.
You've got a standing desk?
I got a standing desk, and I'm sitting right now in my chair. The whole thing of the matter is this. I have an obligation to make the best life for myself. I'm not asking anybody else to do that for me. There's been plenty of people that have helped and are helping, and I appreciate that, believe me. But that's the type of guy I am, a hands-on guy. I love to talk to people. I like being involved. I like helping kids, adults, whatever it is, with anything they need. But you're never going to convince me the life where there's no engagement, and I'm talking a human engagement, is going to be better. So, Frank, you know, anything?
Yes, I got something which I and there are a couple of strings that we just left, and I just want to tie them together.
Okay.
Because there's some valuable things to be learned from.
Okay.
So, you said training on your own, very good.
Yep.
And some people need to get motivated, need some money. But we forgot to mention how essential it is to learn from a real coach or mentor proper technique.
Correct.
Because it keeps you healthy.
Yep.
I hurt myself because I was just busting weights on my own.
Yep.
Had some books and learned from them, made also progress. But I was just missing a very important point.
Yep.
There was nobody watching over my technique and told me, Frank, you're going to mess up your shoulder when you just go on doing it like this.
Right.
And this, what happened? And then just because of a coincidence, I just was reading very frustrated the Smuggle Muscle magazines. Because I was not able to train, and the pain in the right shoulder would not go away. And doctor said, yes, you exaggerated it, so that's it now. So no more weight training for you. And, okay, will this go on? No, it will be like this. Oh, yeah, I was not very happy. I was very depressed.
Yeah.
And then I was just reading about the kettlebell and that some people rehabbed their shoulder with it.
Yep.
And I was going like, okay, I get a book from Pavel and get a 12 kilo kettlebell, which at the time, if you told me I would be training with a device of 12 kilo, I would just have said, you're kidding me, yeah? Because just you know, that's the weight of a purse, yeah?
Yeah, actually.
And I was training, and it was very, very hard for me at the state my shoulder had been in to train with a 12 kilo kettlebell.
Yep.
And it took me over a year. And then I started to train longer and longer and longer. And then after 1 year, I just had to be clear to myself, okay, Frank, now you're just getting far over the time. You need bigger belts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I started training more heavyweight. And then after, I think, 3 years, I did my first Enter the Kettlebell seminar. That was just 3 hours. And then they teach you Turkish get up, which is a great movement, and the kettlebell swing.
Yep.
And so if you want to learn something from kettlebell, don't go for the fancy stuff. Go for the basics. Master the basics and then spread from this. But still master the basics.
Absolutely.
And after that, I saw, after somebody watched over my technique, how much I was missing.
Yep.
And then I got so hooked that I wanted to learn more. I was desperate learning more. So I took my HKC certification, I think, 1 month later, because I was ready. I was training already 3 years. So I just, everything was prepared. Yeah. The soil was prepared, and there were, the seeds were already planted. I just needed someone to put some water in it and shine a little sunshine of knowledge so it can sprout and start to blossom. This is what I needed.
Yeah.
And this is cool. And then after I got my certification, I wanted to teach other people. I wanted to help other people, because this helped me from being useless, or I felt useless, from being able to be far stronger than I ever was before, to move better, to feel better. And I wanted to share this. And so this was a starting point of really learning more how to teach people and have correct movement. So, and we had this also with specialized details, programming versus just do it, and that's a way of life.
Yep.
So somewhere in between is a correct way to train. Sometimes you just got to do something.
Yep.
And sometimes you just got to focus on a goal or specialize on something.
Yep. Yep.
But both of it, you cannot do, or you should not do all the time. What you should do all the time is working on mastering the basics.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And this is it. And once you got this in tune, try to inspire other people, try to help other people, because there's so much joy if you make other people's life better. And I think just not enough people just tried that out and experienced it.
Yep, absolutely. Frank, give out all of your, give your two websites or whatever else you got, anything that's coming up. Let me give my stuff, and just if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, no problem, Eric. So if you want to visit my website, you should be able to read in fluent German.
Yep.
This might pose a problem, because English is a very cool language, very easy to express things. Put it like this. German has its beauty in the language, but it's very less buck for the bang, or bang for the buck, than English. So it's hamburg-kettlebell-club.de. And you can also check me out on Facebook, and I got some other pages, but don't worry about it. I try to put on some English sites later once I find the time, which is about strongman foods, just good food, quickly prepared, all natural, good stuff, not for weight losing, but just for getting shit done.
Well, we'll on the next show we'll get in a little bit about food and what else was there? Something else?
Maybe there's something the other people just wanted to know.
It'd be a great thing because we all know that we need nourishment to get back for the next time we're going to train. So without a doubt, we'll hit upon that. You got anything else, Frank?
Oh, yes. If you speak to Dr. Wong, please greet him. He's a cool guy.
We're going to talk Friday afternoon. As you know, I always look forward to talking to him. He's been a good friend for a lot of years. And everybody loves him, man. I mean, it's like, when are you going to have him on again? Well, we're trying to do twice a month. He's a very busy guy, but he will do that for us, I believe, because he thinks very highly of what we're doing here. And, you know, it's people like you and Dr. Wong and so many others here that are making the difference in everything. And like you said and I said, we offer solutions. We're not out there hammering you over the head telling you can't do it. Here, we don't say things like that. And when you've got the support where we're going to be having millions of listeners next year, there's no way any of us are going to fail. So I think what we're doing here more than anything is we are building a family that is just going to be unstoppable. And it hasn't even, yes. We haven't even scratched the itch yet, my brother. That's it.
I think we need to build that family.
Absolutely.
Because we have a lot of times you're just considering our own country.
Yep.
Like here in the US or here in Germany or yep. here and whatever. But basically we are all families. We are yep. all individuals.
Yep.
So, and I've been traveling around. I've been to England. I've been to America. I've been to Africa. Yep. I've been to Russia, Mauritius, and lived there also with families.
Yep.
And on a family basis, we are all the same.
Yep.
And that's so important. Why I think we need to unite all the strong people.
Yes.
Because just imagine what you lived.
Yep.
Imagine, okay, I lived far less. But imagine what we could do if we try to lift something together.
Absolutely. I'll say it again, and I'll say it to the day we stop. Life is simplistic. You know, stop sitting on your hands and get involved. This is what it's about. But we will hit that, you can believe me, and this is what we're doing, and we are doing magnificent things. We're just not fully discovered yet, but we are working our ass off to do this. That is one of the things about all of us here. We're all doers, and when you're a doer, you're going to get other people excited who want to become doers, and we keep adding on and adding on like that. Before you know it, 5 years from now, Frank, you and I will be saying, Eric's got 10 million listeners now. This is what
hopefully,
it's about.
Hopefully more.
Yeah.
Hopefully more.
I think, 100 million. I think that, hundred, hundreds.
I think there are more people who need to know this.
Yep. I agree. Is there anything else you got, Frank?
Yes. I would really love to close with John Rich, Keep Smiling.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. I have to confess, I'm a regular listener to your show.
I know that, and I'll say that when we're getting ready to sign off, John Ridge. I wish you could have met him. You want to talk about a unique man, unbelievable. Let me tell you, as I always say, and I wouldn't be able to do it every Friday afternoon, but I'd find a way to get to him. I used to go down to his house and sit down with he and his wife and talk. Just a magnificent individual. A guy, we talk about giving. Totally. But as I said before, and I think that goes with all the men and women here, don't twist our tails too hard. You know, don't take kindness is weakness, because you're going to get a very, very bad response. John was
look at all the very heavy guys.
Yep.
I mean, the guys are just really they do not need a handle on the car door to open it, if you know what I mean.
No, absolutely.
So most of them are so nice, very yep. respectful.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like with small dogs. Small dogs, yep. they have to show that there's something, so they're barking all the time.
Yep, absolutely.
If you've got a really, really big dog, it does not need that.
They don't even
it
care.
It knows. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, they could care. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show. Well, it's not a podcast anymore. It's part of podcasting, but this is streaming radio 24/7. Like I said, go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Also, grab our 30-day strength program, and you can also take our two biggest products, and you get them for free. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. As I said, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go down and listen to anything you want. There is an encyclopedia full of content, and I urge all of you to check it out. There's a comment box there. Leave comments. Leave people you'd like us to talk to if we get them on the show, et cetera, et cetera. But most of all, tell us what you think. That's very important. Motivationmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That is what we've gotten, and I thank everybody for that. And as you know, we are, you know, streaming radio. You can hear us on a number of directories, Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and all new cars have podcast capability. We're on AHA, that's AHA. If there's a show you'd like Frank and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. I'm sure we can come up with anything you'd like. Also, too, I'll leave you with these five things. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give some inspiration. Five words, and I know this for a fact, will change your life. And if you think I'm kidding, try it. Try it. Also, as my mom said to us when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get in that day. That, as Frank and I hit a little bit on before, there's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of lonely people that just need a little bit of kindness, and that's why we are all stewards of strength. Your strength comes internally, and it's what you share with the others which really makes a difference in what we all do. Also, too, if you're going to lift today, lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, push it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, which I used quite a bit last night, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anybody's. And that's one of the biggest things right now. And remember, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. I live by those three words. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been on the show and who's been a listener of Eminem since the very beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That was one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me. And you can bet your ass we'll be saying that for the next 28 years, as we've been up approximately 2 years now. And it could go further. I have no idea, but we are going to do everything we can to keep it rolling at a very high rate. Also, too, I'm going to leave you with a number of things before Frank and I sign off. And Frank said one of them, and we're going to get to it. As Mr. Klein said, my greatest college teacher, repetition, repetition, repetition. As my father said, among many great things, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And as John Ridge said, and said many great things, who was my chiropractor for many years, who every Friday I used to go in the afternoon and sit down with him, no matter how busy or not he was. I'd sit in his dad's barber chair in his main room in his office. His father was a barber and a chiropractor from New Hampshire. John was one of the gentlemen I've ever met. He would walk every person out to the door and say to him, keep smiling. you can have the worst day of your life. You say those two words to yourself, I guarantee you, you're going to put a smile on your face. You could take a 180 day and turn it into a 360. So keep smiling, everybody. In John Ridge's memory, that will always be said, because John was a man that stood for something, and I had the honor of knowing him. That, to me, was an honor. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 people that you know about us. We're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the fucking thing in, I guarantee you. Frank, it's always an honor and pleasure to have you on the show. I look forward to another 28 years with you, my friend.
Let's see if we can go more.
Okay, I'm all for it. You're never going to get an argument from me. So,
I want to, when you reach 100, I want to have a battle with you with squatting.
Well, you know what I always said? I'm going to hit 250 and I'll probably drop dead right on the platform, and that's fine with me.
It could be worse. And I think it's far more socially acceptable than if you would be dying in a bed with a hooker.
Boy, she might get pissed, huh? But, Frank, thanks for being on the show, and we will talk soon. Thank you. So for Frank Delventhal, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll get Frank on before the end of the year, and we will get this show up very quickly. And you know what? I say to everyone, you all have greatness, and you know, go out and find it. Take something from here. Go do it. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. And thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.